Then we'll get to work. Anyone remember the title? What was the title? No, I know it. I'm saying, what was the... I want you... Yeah.
It was blessed.
Yeah. How'd you understand the title?
Something new for Israel. It's blessed.
Yeah. When you say... When we say chosen, give me examples of by being chosen. Like, there's a chosen people.
Like Yitzhak versus Ishmael or Yaakov versus Esau.
Yeah. There's a choosing process going on, isn't there? Now, give me examples of people who were chosen over others in Bereshit. Yeah, well, there's Yitzchak over Ishmael. Yeah?
Hevel over Cain.
Hevel over Cain.
Korban, at least.
Oh, sort of, okay.
Yosef over the other brothers.
Yeah, B'nai Rachel over B'nai
Leah. Yeah, Yosef over others and things like that. How about Noach? Now, with all those different things, can you categorize them? Like, is God picking Noach over blank, right? Similar to God picking Yitzchak over Esau, other than we're using the word chosen. Try to define for me what's different between God taking Hevel's korban over Cain and God picking Noach and killing everyone else.
I mean, there's one difference that with Cain and Hevel, it's a one versus one, so it almost could be that someone's rejected as opposed to someone's accepted. With Noach, it's one person's accepted.
And just as many people being destroyed in the long run.
Yeah. But how is that totally different than Yishmael over Esav? I'll try to clarify what I'm getting at. There's a difference between who's elected president, right, and who's executed. Kind of idea, if you get that one. Meaning, there's the always question is when someone's being chosen, what are they being chosen for? So, if I follow Noach, God decided I want to recreate. He wants to start over again. He needs someone for the purpose of recreation. But he's chosen, it's a one-time job and it's over. Okay. When Avram is chosen, he's chosen over who? Is there a contest? You understand we're a different type of chosenness? Right? For what purpose is God picking Avram Avinu? Want to see we have a real quick answer? You remember you were in Shul a couple weeks ago? Remember Parshat Lech Lecha, where God picks Avram Avinu?
He was going to transmit it to his children, his offspring, and his house.
But before then, we're going to get to that in a minute. But when God tells Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha, right? Pretend you were Avram Avinu. When God tells you, leave your land and go to this, what I'm going to show you, what would you expect the next line to be?
Where are you going?
But God says, well, I'll show you where to go. Just listen. As a person, what would you expect the next line to be?
Why me?
What?
Why me?
I told you not allowed to answer though. Can't tell. No. Why me or why? Why?
The purpose of why. Yeah.
If I'm an adult, I would ask, what's the purpose of this commandment? If I'm a child, I would ask, what's the reward? Right? Your parents tell you to do something. Oh, what's in it for me? Or what's in it for mankind? Got the difference? Two different ways of looking at Judaism. In other words, when God tells Avram Avinu, I want you to go to this land where I'm going to show you the land, I could ask, what do I get out of it? Or I can ask, what's the purpose of all this? Well, what's the next line of Chumash? You remember? Everyone knows it by heart, I hope. Not take a look in your Chumash. Chapter 12, the beginning.
Right here.
What does that mean? I'll make you a great nation. Now, everyone, I hope you remember that pasuk, don't you? God says, I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you, and you'll bring blessing to mankind. Now, does that sound like reward or purpose?
Reward.
To a five-year-old, what would it sound like? Oh, wow, I get to be a great nation. Right? Could it mean purpose?
Yeah, for sure.
Is the goal of Avram being chosen because God wants some great nation to be great? Or does God have a job for that great nation? There's a reason he wants a great nation. Now, what happens later in Chumash? The goal of God picking Avram Avinu, he's not looking for someone to reward, rather. He wants a nation that's going to bring God's name to mankind. That nation has a job to do. It has an eternal job to do. And what the main thing God wants is a nation. He wants a nation for eternity, for all time, to be God's nation forever. And that nation is going to talk about God. You know, they'll have commandments, whatever it might be, without getting into all that theory. Now that God wants a nation, what's the question?
Who's going to be
the nation? Got it? That's a good question. And where's the nation going to be? Because most nations have lands. And therefore God says what? Well, I'll send you to the land that will be that nation. But in order to become a nation, what do we need now? A land's not enough. You need people. So what's God say? Who's going to become this nation? Remember? Your kids. Look in Pasuk Zion. God sends, he gets to Shechem. Here, take Avram, yeah, it's okay. You want one? You got three, okay. Avram arrives in Shechem. There's more Chumashim over there. Avram arrives in Shechem, and what's God tell him? This is the land I was talking about. What's he say in Pasuk Zion? Lezaracha atein et haaretz hazot. This is the land I sent you to, and I'm going to give this land to your kids. And what does Avram do in response? He goes and he builds a mizbeach, and he goes to Beit El, calls out in God's name, and Avram begins his journey. Now, if you were Avram Avinu, what would you expect now to happen? Now that you made Aliyah and you're living in Israel, what should happen next?
Children.
He should have children. Why would he expect to have children?
Well,
you have to become a nation. How many kids? It's got to start somewhere. And what else would he need to do sooner or later? It's enough that he's walking in the land. What would he need to do sooner or later?
Settle down.
That's a settle down. He needs to conquer it. He needs sovereignty. Got it? No, it's sooner or later, to be a nation, you have to be sovereign. So sooner or later, he's got to possess the land. In a peaceful way, military way, that's a different question. But that's going to take a long time, won't it? But that's what should happen. Now, should Avram expect to have children? Yeah? And a lot of children, right? And grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. That's what should happen. Is that what happens in Sefer Bereshit? What's going on? Does Avram ever conquer the land?
He occupies parts of it.
He does conquer it, doesn't he? Remember the War of the Four Kings and Five Kings?
Yeah.
And what does he do after he conquers it? He gives it all back. It's called a foreshadowing. No. Why does he give it back? Why does he give it all back? Because he has no one to give it to. Right? Because he has no kids. That's how God begins repaying up Tarim. Because Avram says, you know, don't worry. He says, why shouldn't I worry? I got no one to give the land to. He says, don't worry, you'll have kids. And then Avram asks, so what's going to happen? What's God say? Not in your lifetime. Because when are you going to conquer the land and possess the land? Only after going through the whole process of slavery. You know, we become a nation in someone else's land. That was 2 weeks ago, called Brit Ben Abtarim. But to become God's nation, there's a need to become that nation in someone else's land. First you become a nation, and then you get your land. First you get your job, and then you're going to become the nation. So it has to do with the purpose of the nation. Now, so as far as the land being conquered, it's going to take a long time. As far as having children, he should have children. And then what? And they should have more children, and then on. Does Avram ever have a child? Well, it's not going so good with Sarah, is it? So what does he do? He tries with Hagar, and that was Sarah's idea. And they have a kid. What was the kid's name?
Ishmael.
And what's Avram assuming? He'll be the chosen son. God doesn't tell him differently when he's born, is he? Until some 20 years later, remember? God tells Avram, you know, I got some news for you. My new name is Kel Shaddai. I'm going to change your name. You follow? And you're going to have a child from Sarah. And remember, it's no laughing matter. Because what's the kid's name going to be?
Yitzchak.
Is Avram happy with that? Remember what Avram said? He says, I'm happy with Ishmael. And what's God say? Ishmael will be great, the whole thing. But my covenant will be with Yitzchak. You follow? That takes Avram by surprise. God didn't say, only from Sarah you're going to be chosen. Avram was happy with Ishmael. Could have had more kids with Hagar. But God tells Avram, for some reason, only Yitzchak, to the exclusion of Ishmael. Sarah's kid. Now, had Sarah had more children, what would have happened? Would they've all been chosen? In other words, is Ishmael not chosen because he's a half-blood? If you know Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Was there something? Did he have bad behavior? Or was it never destined to be chosen in the first place? We'll never know. We're not sure. Had Sarah had more kids, would they have all been chosen, only one? Again, we'll never know. Understand? But luckily for us, she had one. I mean, nothing, but she had one kid. And God said, told Avram, only Yitzchak and not Ishmael. Okay. So Yitzchak gets married, right? Does he have kids? He has kids, doesn't he?
Twins.
Same mother, right? Rivka, one mother, this one wife, two kids, twins, nice and simple. And how many are chosen?
One.
Which one? But it's a big there's a story about it, isn't it? It's a complicated story. That was the other part of the title. And now, for some reason, Yitzchak wants to pick Esav, Rivka wants to take, never happened in a family before, but two parents have different views of the kids, but only one's going to be chosen. And who's it going to be? Yaakov. Who decided that? Did God decide? Did Rivka decide? Did Yitzchak decide? That's a good question. And then what happens next? Yitzchak, so Yaakov is chosen. Who chose him? We have to figure it out later on. Yaakov gets married. Does he have kids? Oh, he's got lots of them. And now it's more than one wife. Some regular wives, you know, the wife he wanted, the wife he didn't want, the maidservants that sort of got mixed into the jealousy story. And he ends up with 12 kids. Which ones are chosen? They're all chosen.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big surprise. Something went wrong.
Sort of.
What?
He sort of tries to choose Yosef.
Is Yosef, yeah, sort of. Is Yosef chosen? No, if Yosef is chosen, it's not the same type of Yitzhak being chosen over Yishmael or Yaakov over Esav. You follow?
Yehuda and Levi are chosen.
To do what?
To be the leaders of the nation.
Oh, okay. So now listen carefully. I hope my opening line now is clear. Whenever someone is chosen, you have to clarify for what purpose are they being chosen. Noach for recreation. That will happen to be, you know, the Korban or something. Avram is being chosen to start a nation. But for some reason, even though it would make more sense that Avram would be chosen and all of his kids would be chosen, God's only picking one of those kids and one of the mothers. Only one of Yitzchak's kids are chosen. And then we get to Yaakov's kids and they're all chosen. How about after that? Is anyone else ever chosen again or not? To be what? To be Shevet Levi or to be the chosen people? That's within the team. Now, first I have to start the franchise. Got it? Now I got the word right, I hope. Right? Yeah. Once I have a franchise, who's going to be the quarterback? Who's going to be the tight end? You follow? Who's going to kick field goals? That's once I have a team. But first I have to set up the franchise. Then I give out different jobs. Now, I want to clarify three terms in Sefer Bereshit that will help explain all the stories. Okay? The first term I'm going to call Bechira, which means choosing. That's who's chosen. But I'm not saying just being chosen. I'm talking about the process of choosing a nation. Because that process begins with God picking Avraham Avinu. Okay? And ends with what? With Yaakov's 12 kids. Because once we have Yaakov's 12 kids, the chosen nation is chosen, and that's it. Okay? In other words, you can't get out of it. You can't go into, you can convert. But born Jewish, you're always Jewish. The selection is over. That's it. We're Jewish people. Now, once we're a chosen nation, then we have to give out jobs. Who's going to be the leader? Who's going to be the leader of those 12 tribes? What do you call that position? Well, who should be the leader? There's 12 brothers taking over a company. Who should be the leader? In general, who's usually the leader? What? The oldest, better known as the Bechor. Ah, now we got it. Got it? That's called Bechora. There's Bechira, the idea of a nation. Bechora is the firstborn, which is basically who's the leader. And there's something else that happens a lot. We call them brachas or brachot. There's blessings given. Who gives out blessings? I mean, God blesses people. Do people ever bless other people?
Yeah.
Who usually blesses who? Fathers bless their sons, don't they? And what type of blessings do they give? You should be a rich man. You should be a wise man. You should be control your anger. You follow? You should be careful. You follow? We get blessings usually based on, you know, parental experience with the kids. But it's a blessing sort of that gives them guidance on what they're doing. If Ephraim and Menashe get a blessing, get what?
It's like the blessing, the 49th blessing is care Ephraim and Menashe.
Oh, that's the question. Why do we quote from that blessing to our children? Basically, that's a blessing. You should be successful. If we have time, we'll talk about that. We don't say you should be blessed like Reuven and Shimon, or like Shimon and Levi, do we? That wouldn't be very good, even though some kids be more fitting. sometimes a blessing is to be careful of bad behavior, as much as beware, watch your anger, as opposed to be a goody goody. or channel your anger. Well, hopefully we'll get to that. But from our shir, we have those three concepts. Got it? Bechira, Bechora, and Bracha. Now, give me examples of fathers giving blessings to their kids. What's a classic example? Remember the end of Sefer Bereshit? Yaakov gathers his whole family together and everyone gets a bracha, you know, with their name and based on their thing. Now, in that process, he's also going to give out leadership to Yosef, to Yudah, and things like that, but they're all chosen by then. Noach blesses his kids, doesn't he? And curses them. No. Canaan, you know, you're gonna be in servitude and shame, you're cool. You can talk about God and Yefet, you can be in charge of nice things and culture and things like that. But he also gives blessings based on the potential of the kids. Now, what I want to do now is I want to take a test case, which is coming up soon. No, coming up this week. No, Chai Sar is this week. It can come up in total. Yitzchak's getting old, has trouble seeing. Remember the story? And he decides to bless one of his kids. He wants to give a blessing, doesn't he? And who does he want to bless?
Esau.
Now, when he's calling Esau to be blessed, is he giving him a bracha? Is he giving him bechora? Or is he giving him the bechira? Is that clear now? In other words, is he taking Esau to say, you're the only one, and the Jewish people are going to come from you, and Jacob, he's out. You follow? You're in, he's out. And that's it. You follow? Right? Is he telling him, you're the leader of the family? You're both in into the family. Or is he giving him, you should be a rich man? You understand my question?
Yeah.
Now, don't think now, what did you think it was? You never thought about it that way, did you? I'm pretty sure. But what did you think it was?
A little bit of offer.
What? You thought he was being chosen to be the family leader? Or to be the only one?
Yeah, because that's why he was so upset, because he treated his Bechorites for...
Uh-oh. Earlier, there's a really cool story. There's no doubt that Yaakov and Esau are fighting over Bechorah. Mm-hmm. Right? But don't most people understand that it can only be one kid? That would be Bechira. That's the big question. When Yitzchak is calling Esau to give him the blessing, is he giving him, you know, giving a blessing, you should be wealthy, something like that? Should be a good hunter. Is he saying, you'll be the leader of the family? Or saying, you're the only one, you're going to become the Jewish people? And Jacob, he lost, he's out of it. Just is it similar to Yitzchak and Ishmael? You got it? You understand the question?
Yeah.
Now, that's a complicated story in Bereshit, isn't it? But before, to understand that story, you have to understand, what are the parameters? What are we talking about? It's Yitzchak planning to give him, you're the only one, and you're going to be the Jewish people? To the exclusion of your brother? Or are you both chosen, and you're going to be the leader? Or, I'm not sure who's doing what yet, but you should be a rich man, kind of thing. How can we possibly figure that out? Think scientifically. How can you figure out what was Yitzchak planning, what blessing was Yitzchak planning to give Esau? Oh, the one he gave Yaakov. So we're going to do that now, okay? Open up chapter 28. Chapter 28 in Perek Chavchet. In Bereshit, what page is it? 144. Oh, it starts in what? It starts in 142? 144, chapter 28. But Yitzchak's getting old, he can't see?
It's 142, 143.
Okay. But remember the first line, he's getting old, he can't see. He says, come, I want to bless you before I go. Okay, so it's not clear what blessing. But what blessing does he give? That's going to be Pasek Chavchet. I mean, is it Pasek Chavchet 20? Pasek, I'm sorry. My mistake. Perek Chavzayin, my mistake. Yeah. Sorry about that. Chapter 27, he's getting old. It's Pasek Chavchet. Yeah. Perek Chavzayin, chapter 27, right?
Uh-huh.
He's getting old. You forget everything. When he happens to get old, you forget things. Okay. And he's getting old, remember? No. Now, but the blessing, I think, starts now. Now is that in 28?
Yeah.
Okay, that's 28. Yeah. Look in Chavchet. It's the beginning of an Aliyah. So, read the first line. Who wants to read the first line out loud? Want to read?
In Hebrew.
Yeah. In Hebrew. Hebrew's fine, but slowly. What should God give you? From the dew of heavens and the fat of the land and lots of produce. Right? What is that? You're the only son? You're the leader of the family? Or you should be a rich man?
Rich man.
Where's that from? Oh, further on the roof, yeah, yeah. You should be wealthy. Is that a nice blessing? No. Consider it to a hunter who's been, you know, that's his profession. You know, you should be getting your profession. You went to medical school, you should be a great doctor. You got it? Same thing. Does that mean Yaakov can't get a bracha?
No.
No, but he's starting with Yitzchak. He's starting with, what was he waiting so long for to get this blessing? Oh, because he's about to die, right?
Yeah.
That's what he says. I'm about to die. I want to give it. He thinks he's going to die soon. No. Oh, but he didn't finish. Look at the next line. Read the next line. Pasuk Chaf Tet. Yeah. Yavducha Amim. What's that mean? Other nations should serve you. Yishtachavu L'chalu Amim. That's parallel. What's that mean? Those other nations will bow down to you and look up to you. Okay. Havig Vir L'checha means what?
You'll be over your brother.
You'll be a gvir, in English also, a gvir is someone like the wealthy guy in the community. Yeah. The guy makes the decisions. To your brother, you're going to be the senior partner. Okay. Yishtachavu L'cha B'nei Mecha, your nephews and cousins and their kids, they're going to bow down to you. You'll be uncle. You'll be the rich uncle kind of thing. Now, what's that one? Is that leadership of the family, or you're the only one in the family?
No.
Is that like Yitzchak is supposed to Ishmael?
No.
Or is that like Yehuda over the other tribes? Yeah. You know, it sounds like more like leadership. Got it? So, in other words, that's a question. What's Yitzchak up to? Is he picking the only son? Or is he picking the leader of the family? Yeah. Question?
What about Vayaducha Amim? That seems more generally applied to like everyone else outside the family.
So on the one hand, it sounds like you're... But Yavducha Amim, you and not your brother?
I mean, that you could say Vayaducha Amim applies to like... it says Amim, meaning nation,
yeah.
Not just the one nation within the family.
That but in other words... So we have like a double thing.
Yeah.
Other nations will look up to you. That's outside the family.
That seems to imply that it's referring, that part of the pasuk seems to always seem to apply to Bechira.
Yeah, okay. So there's an overtone of that. Also, at the end he says you should be blessed. Now, those who bless you should be blessed, and those who curse you should be cursed. Good. So we'll keep that in mind. Now, what should Yitzchak be thinking? Should he be thinking he's the only one? I mean, should Yitzchak think, why would Yitzchak think only one kid is chosen and not two? Oh, there's a precedent, isn't there? Because how about his father? He had two kids, Yitzchak, Ishmael, and what happened? Only one was chosen. So why shouldn't it be the same thing? Does that make sense or not? Can that go on forever?
No.
Why can't it go on forever? Yeah. If God says you're going to become a nation, sooner or later, this process of being chosen has got to stop. Understand? Sooner or later, it's got to stop. The question is, at what point is it going to stop? So, it could be just an event, like Avram, you're chosen, and that's it. But we find out it's not an event; it's a process, because only Yitzchak and not Ishmael. The question is going to be, how many generations is that process going to go on for? No, but you agree that sooner or later it has to stop. The question is going to be, the sooner or the later. You got it? Now, what do we know? How many generations does it take? Yeah, which we call Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We just mumbled that in Shmoneh Esrei, didn't we? Yeah. We know that, why? Because we have in Shmoneh Esrei, and we read the Bible. Did our forefathers know that? That's what makes the book so cool. Okay? And now we're ready for this year. I hope we got the introduction. I'll try to make it... I'll show you one more source, and then we'll give you the fun page. Look in chapter 28 now. 26. 26, Perchavav. There's a famine in the land. And what's Yitzhak decide to do? Because there's a famine. He's no dummy. He's got to put food on the table. He just has two kids. Remember, they were born in the previous chapter. Where do most people go when there's a famine in Israel? They go to Egypt. They didn't have planes yet to America. So Egypt was the America of the day. It was a big superpower. They had food there all the time because of the river. Like Avram did that. And what's God tell Yitzhak to do? Don't go down to Egypt. Stay here. Yeah. And look in verse 3, Pasuk Gimel. He says, live in this land and I'll be with you. Why? I'm giving this land to you and your offspring. That's the first time God talks to Yitzchak. First time, that's it. If you were Yitzchak, what would you think? Only one kid's chosen, or they're all chosen?
They're all chosen.
What did God say? You and your offspring. Didn't say some of them. It says all of them. Why should he think otherwise?
Because in the past,
what? Those are. But then, and what did Avram think? Avram thought they'd all be chosen. And who's this? Who decided only Yitzchak? Was that Avram's decision? Only Yitzchak and not Ishmael?
No.
Well, see, God told him explicitly. It was God's idea. Avram said, Halavai, let Ishmael be there also. Avram's disappointed about all that. Right? He'd rather, he likes Ishmael. Ishmael's got a much nicer name than Yitzchak, isn't it? Ishmael's a beautiful name, isn't it? Just a little side point, because we're sort of nearby. But Ishmael, are Jews ever named Ishmael?
There is some, Ishmael in the Gemara.
Isn't there Rabbi Ishmael in the Gemara?
Yeah.
There's no, are you any rabbis named Ishmael in your colleagues?
Yeah.
No, in your smicha, there's no Rabbi Ishmaels. Even females. there aren't any. But there were in the past. Rabbi Ishmael, there's a couple of them. Ishmael was a very popular name. Till when? Till 636. until many Jews are named Ishmael until Islam began. And then it became unpopular. But why was it such a popular name? Because it's a beautiful name. Isn't it a beautiful name?
Yeah.
Like Netanya, or Netanya, like Matanya, Netanya, things like that, a gift of God. But here's more beautiful because God heard my prayer and gave me a child. It's mamash a beautiful name. Yitzchak's is a joke. I think I understand. Yeah. And for some reason, we're Yitzchak and not Ishmael, but that's why there are very few rabbis named Rabbi Yitzchak. There's one Rabbi Yitzchak, but there's much more Ishmaels than Yitzchaks. No one's called Abraham either, right, Rabbi? There aren't too many Tanaim called Abraham. But there's Ishmael is much more popular. Now, that was just a little side point. So Ishmael's not so bad. He wasn't chosen, but the fact you're not chosen doesn't mean you're bad. But God says you'll be blessed, you'll be great. But God's up to something. Now, by the way, if everyone's chosen, then no one's chosen. By definition. But if everyone's class president, then there's no class president. But by definition, you're chosen for a job. Depends what the job is. Doesn't mean people aren't chosen or bad or anything like that. It's just, you have a job to do. Now let's go back and try to understand what's going on. Here, so now I have a little page here. And let's pass it around. Come back in color. That's just down that way. I sound this that way. And hope this won't confuse you. Yeah, the other title for this year was Using Algebra to Explain Bereshit. But we're afraid that would scare people away, maybe. Mm-hmm. And algebra sounds like a class. Now you understand. You learned algebra, didn't you? Now you can understand why you thought, what am I going to use this for? Now all your time you spent in school learning algebra will now not be wasted. Okay. Look at the top left corner. What I said, what we all know. Okay, there's a process of being chosen. You see them, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We reach a certain point, and everyone's chosen. Okay? The converging process, right? Until we reach that critical point, I call that bechira. Therefore, I call it the bechira process. I'm using that. I'm defining it. I'm not saying that's what bechira means. For the sake of the shir, when we talked about that nation being formed, that took three generations, we reach a certain point. That everyone's chosen. First, only one's chosen to the exclusion of everyone else, and then there's a filtering process. We reach a critical point, and everyone's chosen. In fact, if you follow Chumash, when the process begins, we have Avram's name changed to Abraham, and God says, then before Yitzchak is born. When it's over, what do we have? Yaakov's name changed to Israel. We're good?
Mm-hmm.
No. So what do we know? Avram is chosen. Ishmael is unchosen. Yitzchak is chosen. Esav's out. Yaakov is chosen. And then everyone's chosen. Got it? That's what we all know. Now, below that, when I say what Avram thought, what did Avram think? It's an event, not a process. Now, what I want to show you now go to the top right. What does Yitzchak think? Now you understand what N is?
Yeah.
Well, I'm using algebra. You know what N is. N is a variable. But how many generations will be in this Bechira process? I'm calling N. We know N equals 3. Avram thought N equals 1. God, who decided N equals greater than 1? Who told him Yitzchak and not Yishmael? That was Avram's decision? That was God. That's explicit. God says, God, we'll see the pasuk if we have time later on. That's in chapter 17. God says, Briti Akim et Yitzchak. You know, I know you like Yishmael and he'll be blessed, he'll be great, but the Brit I'm making is with Yitzchak, the exclusion of Yishmael. Now, what I want to suggest now is that Yitzchak thinks N equals 2. And I will prove it. You understand what I mean by N equals 2? Mm-hmm. When N equals 2, that means Yishmael is out, Yitzchak's in, maybe because the matriarch issue. It's got to be Sarah. And Yitzchak is chosen. He has two kids. And both are chosen. If both are chosen, what does the father have to decide? Not who's the only one, but who's the leader. But they can both get blessings. If you remember, at the end of his life, what does Yaakov do? He calls all his kids in and gives them blessings. Before that, he calls in Yosef. And what does Yosef get? He gets a double portion. Who gets a double portion? Remember, Ephraim and Manasseh are like Reuven and Shimon? He gets two tribes instead of one. That's a sign of leadership. So first he points Yosef as a family leader, and then he gives blessings to the others. So if that's the case, Yitzchak, thinking N equals 2, wants to give what blessing to Esav? To be the leader. Why should he think otherwise? Now, what type of blessing would he give Yaakov? If you have two kids, one is a hunter, what's called a macher, a doer, married, like makes a living. Okay? Another one's sitting and learning in the tent all day long. Who would you give leadership to? The one who's out there. And what type of job would you give Jake? Would you give Yaakov? Learning. You can be a teacher, a college professor, a judge. You can go door to door collecting. Yeah.
I'm just asking. We're saying that Yitzhak thought that both of them would get the bracha of, I guess, Avram.
But the would be the Jewish nation.
So then, why would in the bracha he say Beitein lechad brachat Avraham, the father Zarachai Tachlerish?
Whoa! You're jumping ahead to chapter 28.
That's...
Yeah, we're still in chapter 27. You're right.
Sorry.
We didn't get there yet. Yeah. Well, we'll get to that very soon. But that we're talking about the blessing in chapter 27, in Pasuk 28. Got it? Where he says, what's he saying? You, as a nation, you're the leader of the nation. It's like, to your brother, you're the big shot. To mankind, you're representing the Jewish people. Therefore, Yavdu Chamim, Yishtapu Lelumim. On the national level. On the personal level, within the family, you're the quarterback. You're the.
But if he really was intending to give brachos to both of them, then why would it be like, okay, come on, I'm going to die, let me give you brachos? Why did he only talk to Esav?
Because he's starting with Esav, because first he's got to point the leader.
Yeah, but when Yaakov gave brachos, he gave it to all his kids. Right?
No, that's saying first he called in Yosef.
But wasn't it like acknowledge that all the kids were getting blessed?
No, first, but before that, in chapter 47, first he calls in Yosef and gives Yosef a separate blessing of a double portion. And then he gathers the other ones. You know, he gave Yosef leadership before he calls the 12.
Rivka doesn't even think that.
We'll get to Rivka in a minute. No, Rivka is a different story. Rivka knows much better. Because we'll get to Rivka in a second. That's what I'm saying, what Yitzchak thinks. We'll get to Rivka in a minute. Because there's something Rivka knows that Yitzchak doesn't know. You're not smiling yet.
She got the divorce, maybe.
Yeah. Now all the stories are going to begin to make sense. What I want to show you, every story in Sefer Bereshit deals with these three topics. Bechira, Bechora, and Bracha. When Rivka was pregnant, what happened? Something was wrong there, remember? Yeah. Now, and who she go to for guidance? Yeah. Not to her husband. Right? In Chumash says she goes to God. Some rabbis can't accept that a female could, you know, go directly to God. So she went to the Rosh Yeshiva, Shem Be'ever. But it's fine. Yeah. The RCA didn't approve. I'm just joking with the rabbi. I read the paper yesterday. It was fun. You know somebody I'm joking. But Chumash tells us, Vayomer Hashem La, how God talked to her, it's a machlok parshanim. That God talked to her is key. You follow? Let me give you an example, because this comes up too often. Sometimes we're so focused on the little details, like you go to a wedding. What was the food like? What were people wearing? What was the flowers? How much did the thing cost? Stuff like that. And you're so in there's the young couple getting married, starting a life. There's something like massive going on, and everyone's focusing on these tiny little. And sometimes you're so, same thing as in Judaism. We're so worked as like how Chumash was given, how this, and all these little tiny things. There's a nation serving. There's like, wow, God, you follow? There's something big going on, and we get uptight on these tiny little details, which are almost irrelevant. Yeah, they're important. They're cute. And they're interesting, but sometimes we spend so much time on the little details, you lose sight of the big picture. And the same thing happens in Judaism a lot. There's such a big, there's a nation going on. There's history going on. There's a big process going on. We worry about little, tiny things sometimes. I was just joking about the issue of, understand? We after 2,000 years, we're back to a country. Mankind is changing like crazy. All these big things going on. And what are we fighting and peckling about? A title of this, you follow? It's important issues, but where are the big issues? What are we doing? There's so many big things going on. If we spend all of our time talking about little issues, we're going to lose proportion in things. Again, they're important. It's important to get a caterer and to dress properly, and you follow, and have fun for the wedding. But if that's all we talk about, where's the idea of starting a family and becoming part of a community and establishing things? And you follow what I'm getting at? And hope you get the analogy. Okay, no. So now we get to Rivka. Rivka feels something's wrong, and God talks to her. How do we know? Bayomer Hashem La. Again, how God talked to her? You understand my analogy? That's a technical issue. It's interesting, but irrelevant to the bigger picture. God telling Rivka something, and God wants Rivka to know to the exclusion of
Yitzhak.
That's simple. Bayomer Hashem La. And what does God tell her? Shnei goyim. And not here, goy doesn't mean a non-Jew. Here means
nations.
Yes, that's not two brothers. That's two nations. Shnei lu'umim. Mimai chepredu. The reason you feel that there, that's not two brothers. That's two teams. They're not fighting over who's the quarterback. They're fighting over, right? It's two teams already. There are teams down there, and they're going to fight forever, sort of. They're on, they're going to fight. You follow what he's saying here? And therefore, Rivka knows that's two different nations. But God also hints that the younger one will be the one that God wants. Rav Yavud Seir. Now, for some reason, she doesn't tell her husband about it. Why? That's a topic for a different discussion. Ramban has a beautiful answer. He said that she was sure that he knew, because how could I know and he not know? Because, she just got out of seminary and he was been in yeshiva for 50 years. And then he must know everything. And then like 30, 40 years later, was it 60 years later, what she realized? He doesn't know so much. but she realized, I call it Rivka's secret, if you understand. Rivka needs to know something. God wants her to know to the exclusion of her husband. Got it? Right. And therefore, she thinks it's her job now to intervene in this process, because she thinks that it's got to be Yaakov. She doesn't know what Yitzhak thinks, but she understands how she's got to do something, because this will be disastrous if Esav gets a blessing. What would have happened, we don't know. But Rivka feels motivated to do something. She does something to make sure Yaakov gets the bracha. So Yaakov comes in and sort of steals the bracha by tricking the father. When Esav comes in, and remember, and Yaakov got the bracha of leadership. Esav comes running in and he asks, do you have a bracha for me? Now that he's told, what was his father's answer? Your brother came and took your blessing. And Esav says, are there any more? Does he get a blessing or not, Esav?
Yes.
Yeah. And what blessing does he get? Well, what can he get? Can he be a rich man?
Yeah.
Okay. Can he be the leader?
No. Sometimes.
Can he be in the bullpen? Yeah. You know what that is, don't you? Yeah. Take a look. Yeah. Look, what pasuk am I talking about? What blessing does Esav finally get after the whole little...
Yeah.
After Yitzhak becomes Haredi. It says, V'yacharad Yitzhak Haradah Gdola.
Huh?
What? Yeah, yeah. What's it say here? Does he get wealth? What verse is that?
Yeah, 39.
And 39, what's Yitzchak tell him? Almost the same thing. Is about wealth?
Yeah.
What's it say? Mishmane Aretz, Rob the Ganda, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
How about leadership? Right.
No.
But when he goes down, you'll take over. Got it? Because still, Yitzchak still thinks they're both a nation. But that's what happened. So now Yaakov's the leader. Now, I'm assuming that after this whole thing, Yitzchak and Rivka sat down for, I wouldn't say coffee because it wasn't invented yet, but for pomegranate tea. How's that? Okay. Herbal tea. Okay. And I think then they clarified what was going on. I'll prove it to you in a minute. Because Yitzchak changes his whole approach now in chapter 28. Remember? Rivka tells him, get out of here to save your life. Remember? It's dangerous. So run away to my brother to save your life. And Yitzchak tells him, as long as you're going, get a wife. Remember? Get a wife. That's the thing. But on his way out, look down in chapter 28, in Perek Chavchet, On his way out, his father gives him another blessing now. Let's take a look at it and tell me what this one is. Okay? He says, see in chapter 28? He says, go to love on your brother and get yourself a wife. Get yourself a wife, the whole thing. But he gives him a blessing on the way out, right? Look in verse 3. See that? 28:3? Now, read verse 3 and 4, Pasuk Gimel and Dalet, and tell me, is it Bechira, Bracha, or Bechora?
It's Bracha.
Read Gimel and Dalet. Are you going to be the only one? You're going to be the leader of the family, or are you going to be a rich man? Which lines of Bechira are there? Do we have Zerah v'aretz like God told Avraham Avinu? Do we have Birkat Avraham in there somewhere?
Yeah.
In other words, what's Yitzhak know now?
That he's supposed to be the one that's carrying.
That Yaakov's going to be the only one. Who should be in charge of giving out Bechira? Who gives out Brachot to the sons?
Father.
The father, once they're all chosen. Right. Who decides what N is going to equal? And who's going to be chosen? Who decided N equals 2 and not 1? And who picked Yitzchak over Ishmael?
God.
That was God. So who should choose who's the only one?
Hashem.
So why is Yitzchak giving him Bechira? If it's Bechira. So read carefully now. Look at Pasuk Gimel again. Is Yitzchak deciding that Yaakov's the only one? What's he saying? He's giving him a blessing that God should choose him over his brother. Now Yitzchak realizes it's N equals 3. That's one. And it can only be one of them. If it can only be one of them, then it should be Yaakov. But who has to decide that? God. And now he's blessing him that God should decide, even though I'm sending you away. Because Yitzchak wasn't allowed to leave the land. He was chosen over his brother. He couldn't leave the land. That's what God told him before. And now Yitzchak is sending Yaakov away. Yaakov would think, hey, maybe I'm being sent out like Yishmael was sent out. Maybe I'm not chosen. And you think, even though you're going away, God should bless you and make you the only one. Now, but it's not up to Yitzchak, it's up to God. Yeah.
But isn't it logical that if Yitzchak wanted to give Esav the leadership role,
yeah,
then if he had to choose one to be the one nation, it would be Esav too?
No, I think if I'll give you an example. We'll use the Israeli example. If I have two sons, one's chiloni, and one's secular, and one's religious, who should do the army and who should be in education? Who should run the government? If I have two kids and I have to employ both of them, give secular leadership to the secular one, and give religious leadership. You have to be capable of your job. In fact, that's why he needs a blessing to make sure he does a good job at it. You know that idea that let the secular do the army and work, and let the Dati people sit and learn all day long?
Yeah.
It's called Yisachar Zvulun. There's logic in that. Yeah. And in my opinion, I think that's what Chumash is coming to beware of, that idea. Because who gets the blessing? Yeah. Yaakov can't get that blessing because he's not ready for leadership yet, is he? What does Yaakov have to do to be worthy of that leadership? He's got to go to Lavan University and learn how to fight. And he's got to become a man. You know the story, don't you? Fighting with the Malach and the whole thing. Because to get blessed, you need the kol of Yaakov and the Adam of Esav. Esav doesn't have the kol, Yaakov doesn't have the hands. Now later on, just for the fun of it, in Jewish history, who has the hands of Esav and the kol and the voice of Yaakov? That's David HaMelech, isn't he? He's red, he's a man like Esav. He's an Ish Sadeh. He's Admoni, the whole thing. He's got the call of Yaakov. He writes Sefer Tehillim. Restarts Sefer Tehillim. That's the model of Mashiach. Now, if you're going to be a model nation, the idea that people close to God are cut off from society, don't get married, live in a monastery. The only way to be spiritual is to be cut off and just live in a, isolated. And if you're going to be involved in this world, then say goodbye to God. That's very attractive. You follow?
Yeah.
And Chumash is saying, no, to be God's people, you have to be involved in day-to-day work. You have to be involved in Olam HaZeh. You have to have children. And you have to work. And you have to But at the same time, you can be, you know, you can have the kol v'yakov nidam of Esav in one person. And both, you know, and each one has to learn. That's like called the Hesder idea, where you, you know, study in yeshiva and also do the army kind of idea. Again, it's my own. We're reading into the Bible, you know, our own hashkafa, but that's what Jewish learning is all about. Now, that was just a side point. Now let's get back to our story and see how we use this. Yeah, Father, if it, and now that Yitzchak knows that n is greater than two, it can only be one. He's hoping that God will pick Yaakov. Now go to Parsha Vayetze, look in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Remember, Yaakov has a dream on his way out. He sees the ladder in Perachav Chet in chapter 28. What's the first thing God tells him? First, God identifies himself. I'm the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Or Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov is him. Okay. Remember? Ani Hashem, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak. Ha'aretz, Hashata, Shochei Vodeh, Lachat, Nani, Lazarach. In other words, the land you're on is going to be yours. That's the bracha of Avram. In other words, now God confirms to Yaakov that he's the only one. He's leaving the country. Therefore, what's God say? In verse 15, I'll be with you. I'll follow you. Right? I'll bring you back here. I'll take care of you, even though you're leaving. And then Yaakov says, if you really do that, when I come back, I'll build a house for you. It was, I'll reciprocate, and things like that. Got it? So now, everyone understands how N equals 1, 2, and 3? So far, so simple?
Uh-huh.
Right. Now we get to, now we get the fruits of it. That's, we know that N equals 3. Yaakov, you know, finally gets married. Finds the right girl, but doesn't marry her so fast, right? Because someone tricks him. He gets stuck with Leah, remember?
Yeah.
And then only gets there. And then having kids, the whole thing, with the whole thing, you know, they take the shvachot. And by the time the story's over, he's got 12 boys. Which one's going to be chosen? And look at all the possibilities. What's one possibility? Who says N equals 3? Maybe N's going to equal 4. Yeah. Maybe only one of the kids are chosen. Or maybe N equals 3, but what? Maybe only one of the mothers? Maybe only Rachel, maybe only Leah. Maybe only Rachel and Leah, not the Shvachot. You follow?
Yeah.
It's complicated. But do you understand how complicated it is? Now, does anyone ever dream about N equals 4?
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that a possible interpretation of Yosef's dream? Everyone knows Yosef's dream. Remember? People are bowing down to him, remember? Yishtachvah halumim. Never, but people are bowing down to him. He's getting up. Is Yosef dreaming? I'm the only one, and you guys are gone. Like just like Yitzchak Yishmael,
yeah.
It's Yosef and everyone else. He's going to be a star. Right? That's what he's dreaming about, isn't it? That sounds like he's dreaming. That's what the brothers think. But of course, it's only a dream. How do they solve the problem?
They throw him in a pit.
Yeah. First, they want to get rid of him, basically. And we'll see what happened to his dreams. You follow?
Yeah.
That's one way to solve the Bechira process. Get involved in it. You have to do Ishtadlus kind of thing. Yeah. They tried their Ishtadlus, but they didn't have a lesson in Sinat Chinam or Sinat Achim. So what happened next? That's one possibility. Now, it could be just a dream though. But it might be. So take a look at the page I gave you. With Yosef, on the left column now, where N equals 4. See that? If N equals 4, it could be Yosef. And Yosef might have two tribes or something like that. And then the process goes more. It might even go to N equals 5. Now, N can't equal infinity. Got that or not? Who can explain what I mean? N can't equal infinity. Because if N equals infinity, what don't you have? You never have a nation. You have an MVP every year, but not a nation. Therefore, N has to be less than infinity. But we don't know, it might be 10, it might be 5, it might be 2, you follow?
Right.
No. We know it equals 3, but who says it won't go on longer? So, you know, it seems to be N equals 4. Now, there's other permutations, I think, if I have the word right, of N equals 3. N can equal 3, but only the kids of Rachel, see it on the right, what Yaakov thinks? Mm-hmm. Right? You said before, see what Rivka knows, that N's greater than 3, he's going to be the younger son? But that's what Rivka knows, opposed to what Yitzchak thought. Now, who does Yaakov consider his wife? Remember, he says so. As far as Yaakov's concerned, he has one wife. Why is Rachel's only wife? That's the one he wanted. There's a whole story about that, right? Who's pushing Leah all the time? No, Laban wants her in. You follow? How about God?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like God's on Leah's side, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It seems like, so if I ask Yaakov, Rachel is his wife. And therefore, who are the tribes? N equals three, but only Yosef and Binyamin. And who's the Bechor?
Yosef
and Binyamin's the other tribe, and it's just pushed off in other generations. That's what Yaakov thinks. Now, when Yosef is sold or lost and gone, right here, what's Yaakov think? Oh, this isn't good. But what's his hope now?
Binyamin.
At least I got Binyamin. When Binyamin's gone, whoa, you follow? He can't get over it. Now, you understand his reaction? It makes sense why he sold him, because that means he's not chosen. That means he's going to fall back to Ishmael. You follow? If it's not him. The other kids, why should they be chosen? No. What do the brothers think? What do Leah's kids think? It's so crystal clear that God wants Leah. Look what God does to bring Leah into the picture.
Yeah.
It's not Lavan, that's God behind what Lavan's doing, tricking that night. Right? And Rachel dies, remember? She has trouble having kids and she dies for her kid. It's clear. Look at Marta Machpelah. Leah's there. So the Bnei Leah are sure that they're the only ones, and there's six tribes.
Plus, they actively try to rid, like.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what did no one ever dreamt that the shvachot, that the maidservant's kids would be chosen. Hagar's kids weren't chosen. Keturah's kids weren't chosen. No one ever dreamt of that. Or did someone dream of that?
Maidservants.
What?
The maidservants actually
did. What?
The maidservants. Or the actual children.
But you understand why it makes no sense that the maidservant's kids would be tribes, would be part of the nation? They can do windows and stuff like that, but listen. But are they going to be the chosen nation? Why should they be? They're half-bloods. And we never have a precedent for that. Did anyone ever dream of that?
Yosef
did. What did Yosef dream about?
Dream about 11 stars.
Ah. Now his dream's starting to make sense. Right? Everyone thought he was dreaming Bechira. You follow? That's what Kachetron. And what does he realize later in his life? After he learns how to... First he has to interpret other people's dreams. And then he can interpret his own. And what does he realize when he sees the brothers coming and bowing down to him?
Bechora.
Hey, I wasn't dreaming Bechira. I was dreaming Bechora. Which means, what's my job?
Leader.
I have to be a leader. But there was another little detail. How many stars were bowing down?
11.
What's that mean?
11.
They're all children. Whoa. Even half-bloods. You follow? And hey, we're all one family. We have to learn how to get along with each other. Even though we're all different, we have different backgrounds and stuff like that. You know that? And that's Yosef's dream. Again, it took him a while to understand it. And he had to go through his life experience, solving other people's dreams. But now he's catching on. And now, who picks the leader? Remember? God picks... The Bechira process is up to God. That's clear. It should be, because it's his nation. Blessings by the father to the kids, it's up to the father. It's the father's priority based on the thing. Who decides the Bechora? Well, it defaults to who? To the firstborn, to the eldest. But they can lose it. Are there stories about the eldest losing the leadership?
Yes,
yeah. But within the 12 tribes. Shouldn't Reuven be the leader?
Yeah.
He's the Bechor, but what happened? He lost it. Is there a story about that?
Yes. Yeah.
Who should go next? Shimon and Levi. Did they lose it?
Yeah.
Is there a story about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Who ends up getting... Yehuda gets sort of leadership, doesn't he? Is there a story about that?
Yeah.
Okay, got it? Okay. But Yosef also gets leadership. I call them co-captains. No, is the leadership going to be to Yosef or Yehuda? I mean, we don't stop arguing about it all through Beit Rishon, don't we? Is it Ephraim, Yeravam, Beitel, the 10 tribes, or is it Yehuda and Machut David? Yecheskel has what to say about it, doesn't he? Yecheskel says the next when they come back, they got to learn to live together. Eitz Ephraim, Eitz Menashe, Eitz Ephraim, and Eitz Yehuda, and they have to graft together, but they need to have co-captains. So the chief co-captain is going to be David, but they're still a co-captain. No, you have to, you know, get the idea of co-captain. There's like a president and a prime minister, you know, in Israel. One is sort of guidance, you know, the thing, and then there's the political leadership. That was Achia Shiloni's idea when they split the kingdom. It wasn't supposed to be a total split. It was supposed to be sharing power. And Yeravam took it too far because he couldn't take, you know, either I'm a captain. You know, the idea that co-captains is hard for people to accept. You ever find a yeshiva with two Rosh Yeshivas? I'm just joking. Yeah, I'm making fun. Now, you see the different permutations going on? So it turns out, what does Yosef's dream seem to be? Yavdu Chamim was what? Who is bowing down to Yosef? Just 11 stars? Those are bowing down. What? Yeah. Who are the sun and the moon? When the dream was heard the first time, it was misunderstood. The sun and the moon are the mother and the father, and he's the only one. You follow? Now, which nation has the sun god, or which one has the moon god? If you know that. Egypt is a solar calendar, Mesopotamia lunar calendar. The Fertile Crescent. And there's a reason why there's a crescent there, not just it's shaped like a crescent, but their calendar goes that way. Okay? In Egypt, everything's always the sun. The sun god Ra. Who's bowing down to Yosef? Not just Egypt, the whole Middle East comes for food, right? Mesopotamia comes as well. Okay? So, Yabdu Chamim is the Shemesh and Yerech. Hevig V'Lachecha is the 11 stars bowing down to him. And Yosef takes leadership beautifully and gets the family together. And what becomes his job as leader? To unite the family. And all the shtick he's doing in Sefer Bereshit with the brothers, he wants to reunite the family so they can work together again. But that's all shir on Yosef and his brothers. So now, you follow what we did?
Yeah.
And if you look carefully, once you understand those three concepts, that there's the pkira is a process, and the avot aren't clear where it's going to end. But it's up. God decides that. That's up to God. It begins with Avram's name changed to Avraham, and ends with Yaakov's name changed to Yisrael. That's the meaning of it. It's a process that we learn from. On the one hand, chosenness is something special. It's up to God. On the other hand, it's not about pure bloods. Even B'nai Shepachot can come in. No, it's not just it's not because we're chosen to be better, not that we are better. Is that something genetic? We're not a superior race, but rather we have a job to do. And God wants us to do that job, and we have to live up to that. But God tells us what we need. No, it's not about reward, it's about purpose. God wants a nation, and a nation learns from its mistakes. And it's constantly trying to improve. And in that nation, we can have 12 tribes. There needs to be a leader, there needs to be even co-captains. Okay. And everyone has to lift their potential. But who decides the Bechorah on the end of the day? That wasn't the Father deciding. That wasn't God deciding. History decided. Right? And that's leadership. You follow? There's potential of leadership. It defaults to one, but it can go to somebody else. That you have to live up to. And therefore, God's involved in the process, the direction. We're involved in the process. Okay? But leadership... That's why, and that's why all through Breshit, it's never the firstborn is ever born first. And leadership has to be earned. Now, there's two different concepts. One is being chosen. It's like a divine process. It's not out of our control. There's another process within that family of leadership, of living up to potential, what you can do. And that's why the second you think everything's predetermined by God, so there's no initiative. The second you decide everything, there's no control. And therefore, the balance between God directing something and everyone playing their part, but still taking initiative and earning leadership. That's something I think we can learn from through the story. And part of being Jewish is and nevuah is not about what will happen, but what can happen. Chumash didn't say what will be, what can be. When God says, "I'll make you a great nation," it's not a promise; it's a direction. We can be great. We have a potential to be great, to take leadership. Do we live up to that potential? That's the question. That's the challenge of Jewish history. So we're not just learning about what happened in the past, we're getting direction of to in the future. Now, how to lead, what to do, what to focus on, that we argue about all the time, but that's a good argument. But it's about purpose, not about privilege. It's a privilege, again, to have that purpose, but that's the thing. And hopefully in the stories here, you have a better idea of, so now when you understand that algebra, n equals 1, 2, 3, 4, the idea of the process and stuff like that. Now, so that's Bechira process. Once it's over, then the Father gives out the blessings. But there also needs to be a leader. That's the Bechorah. And Bechorah told the stories. And then if you follow, go back, almost every story in Sefer Bereshit deals with either the Bechira process, the Bechorah process, or Bracha. And the cutest thing is what Yaakov and Esav were fighting over Bechorah when? Because they both think they're both, you follow? Yaakov and Esav grow up with Yitzchak's N equals 2. And that's why they're fighting over Bechorah. Because they assume they're both chosen. Who's going to lead the family? Esav couldn't care less about it. He's got, he doesn't care about the future. Yaakov does. And therefore, Yaakov thinks he should be the leader. He should take leadership, but he's got to learn how to do it. But no one realizes yet that it's only one of them. Rivka knew that. But Rivka knows that's mother's. Mother knows best. And God sometimes talks, they make the family happen. But that's for women's issue. That's for, no, that's what's so cool about it. It's a family thing. Already? Okay, so thank you so much for listening. Stuff. You can keep the page if you want. And,
Robert, are there any questions?